God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Newcomers, is there anybody here tonight in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would just like to welcome you by first name. Feel free to unmute and say hello.
Hi, my name is Crystal, and I'm an alcoholic.
Crystal, welcome. All right. Leanne, I'm going to make you a co-host so that you can... Crystal, I'm going to make Leanne a co-host. If you feel comfortable, you can use the chat to make contact with her. And what else? Anybody else? First 30 days?
Hi, my name's Austin. I'm an alcoholic.
Austin, welcome. Glad you're here. You will, you'll also be able to send a chat to me. I'll send you my number as well. Anybody else? First 30 days? Alrighty then. So the preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous states that Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So we have a couple of great speakers. I'm going to read the format statement in a minute, but Cleo, we typically do ladies' choice around here. So you can go first or you can throw your hubby under the bus as you see fit. When that time comes shortly. So the format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic, identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we are discussing step 11. Please help me welcome our lovely panel, Jack and Cleo. So I'm going to start off with the first paragraph. We're not going to read you to death tonight, but we're going to just go through a couple of paragraphs. We're going to start on the big book, page 87. I will share my screen just now. And step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. So we're going to start on page 87. Wait a minute. How about we start on page 85? Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be. The floor is yours.
Can you guys hear us?
Perfectly.
Okay, wonderful. Hi, guys. I'm Cleo Devlin. I'm an alcoholic. And this is my wonderful husband, Jack Devlin, who is also an alcoholic.
The fact.
He is trying to rename us. So. So thank you guys for having us. Thank you, David, for inviting us to come share our experience with the big book. We have a lot of it. We love the big book. And we love this type of meeting where we read and then talk about what the book says. And I'm going to try to stick to my experience with what it says. So not just opinions on it, but experience with it. So we start out with talking about what step 11 is, prayer and meditation. And then it's this promise that it works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. And this proper attitude is something I've heard discussed a lot. What is this attitude? For me, when this works, the attitude that I have to take for this to work is, God, show me what you would have me, not fix me, not help me. Sure, sometimes fix me or help me so that I can better serve you or so that I can better serve others, but not give me what I want. It's, you know, show me how I can better and work at it. You know, step 11 is a discipline. It's not something that for me comes easily and naturally and that I want to do every day. I have to work at it. I have to do it when I don't want to do it. Sometimes I really do enjoy doing it. Other times I really don't, and I really don't want to do it. And the working at it is doing it when I really don't want to. And then it goes into this when we retire at night. So this nightly review, we have this paragraph that has a bunch of questions, which, you know, are, I ask myself on a good night. I will tell you, I do not do a nightly review every single night.
That makes two of us again.
I'm very lucky to be in a relationship with another recovered alcoholic, because a lot of times the thing that gets me to do my nightly review is my husband in bed writing his nightly review. Aww. And I can't very well not do it when he's there doing it.
They're all gonna laugh at you.
But these questions, you know, it's very similar to what we're looking, this is the stuff we're looking at over and over again. It's the stuff that we were asked to look for when we wrote a four step, you know, resentful, selfish, dishonest, afraid. It's the stuff that we're watching for throughout the day in step 10 that we're discussing when it crops up. You know, it seems like these are threads that run through our life, and they are for me, you know.
It's like, give it a break. You know, how many times I got to look at this stuff, you know?
And these were we, it's like, were, was I resentful, selfish, dishonest, afraid? Pretty much yes. You know, pretty much yes to all of them. It's just like, where was I? You know, the only one that for me some days I can honestly say is a no, and my present situation is dishonesty. You know, that is not something I struggle with to the same extent. Although sometimes I'm dishonest with myself. I don't do something I committed to. You know, I made an internal commitment with myself or God. And, you know, I go through this stuff. And if I am doing this stuff on a regular basis, on a nightly basis, like ideally, but like I said, I don't do it every single night. As for me, as long as I'm doing it a couple nights a week, I'm catching most of the stuff. It's not building up so that I'm not going, it's not going to accumulate to the extent that I'm going to have to do a huge inventory that looks like the inventory that I wrote the first time I came in here. Or after I was here for a couple of years and I hadn't engaged in these later steps and had to do another, you know, full four step. But this is the stuff that once we get here, I've done all of the unblocking, but I don't just stay unblocked unless I continue to look at the stuff that would block me. And it asks us at the end of this, it says at the end of this paragraph, after making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be. Two things there. That something that's just been helpful for me, I don't know if anybody else struggles with this, but this word forgiveness, I don't really, my concept of God is not a God that I have to ask for forgiveness. So I kind of got hung up on this word in the beginning. And a way to frame this that's been really helpful for me is that what I'm asking for here is that God grant me the ability to forgive myself or to forgive any of the people that I was resentful at. You know, God, please give me your forgiveness. Not God, please forgive me. and this corrective measures. That's something that I kind of, the way I use this is not just a question at the end, but as I go through, I write CM next to these things. And if I have a, you know, corrective measure for the resentment, for the selfishness, for the keeping something to myself, you know, that's pretty clear. Talk to my sponsor about it tomorrow, you know, but I go, as I'm asking myself these questions, I kind of look at the corrective measure as I go through for each. Add anything?
Very little. I think you're my favorite speaker. Yeah, it's really cool to be here. I love how step 11 starts with an insult, that there's better men than all of us already doing all this stuff. You know what I mean? I just love that little jab at the beginning. I'm like, don't worry. Better men than you have been doing this for a very, very long time. And which is definitely true in my case. That is a fact. I really don't have much to add, except for that this line about, you know, definite and valuable suggestions. You know, it's like, we're not going to tell you your whole journey here. Do what, you know, the big book's pretty cool. Like, we want you to have your own experience, especially here. Very individual deal, step 11. It can become a very intimate, powerful deal. But there's some serious groundwork laid. This is the sift, right? This is like what falls through the sift of the 10 step is kind of collected here in the nights that I look at it. And I can see over the course of a couple of days, what have I missed? You know, like Cleo said, is no queen. We're looking for. So, David, I say we keep rocking.
Right on. We are off to a roaring start here. We're going to continue on page 86. Thank you both so much. Page 86 continues with On Awakening. On Awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. Cleo?
I want to live the inspired life. You know, I want to live the inspired life. That's what these paragraphs resonate that inside of me and my heart, right? Like that there is a plane of inspiration to exist on. Not that where I've lived for so long, right? From the mind, by the mind, driven to make decisions, driven to run out of the house, to go solve a work problem, to go solve some problem, driven by fear. But to be forced, right, by what, for this guy still, most of the time, by alcoholism, by the clarity on the fact that if I don't sit in the morning, you know what I mean? You might as well just start calling the authorities, you know what I mean? Or just phone work and let them know we're coming in hot. You know, it's just bad news, you know? Or just start writing the card for the conversation that you have to have with Cleo at the end of the day, right? Like it doesn't take long for me in the morning to get going. Like often I wake up and, you know, 30 seconds later, let's get it, you know, just wham, you know, and it's like, I got to go downstairs and then chill back out for 46 minutes before I can exist in the world from a place that's not like that. You know what I mean? We are not exaggerating in this house. My wife is here to attest to the fact that, like, we don't sit, if there isn't actual disciplined time set, days can get really weird really fast. And it can look like it's whose fault, not mine. You know what I'm saying? Or what? And whoever did, this is just a one example, right? Whoever it might be. But again, clear cut instructions and coming out of this nightly inventory that we talked about, same type of threads. What's the first thing? And it years later, I really started to dial in the first thing that I'm asking to be divorced from in my thought life is self-pity. The first prayer of the day. And it was interesting because after a while, I was, you know, whatever, whether it was a big book study or sponsorship or working with another guy or whatever, but I just started thinking, how often am I 10-stepping self-pity? And the answer at the time for me was not that often. Well, then why is it lead the list here? Because it's sneaky. That's why. And because sometimes I rather enjoy it. My little violin, I rather enjoy it. You know what I mean? And I can get people on my team. It doesn't have to be anything. It doesn't have to be full on self-pathetic. You know what I mean? It doesn't have, I don't have to go too far with it, but just a little bit. The state of the nation. Just some of these things that happen to be impacting me. Some of these things are just a little hard to deal with. You know, some of these, you know, whatever it might be. It's just this, the way that this is laid out, right? I'm not here to be Dr. McKee, you know, and I don't want to be just caught in rigid lines, but man, when you look at the way that some of these prayers are structured to begin a day, I just, you know, they're just perfect. They really are. And coming out of the gate, you know, to shift my thought life right away is something that when that was presented to me, it made a lot of sense. And it takes us right through that, you know, for those two whole paragraphs, you know, that we're not here to be driven by fear and for our thought life to be placed on the plane of doing what I think I need to do or getting what is right for me. But they're supposed to be on the plane of inspiration. And as I look at my day, if I don't know what to do, which happens to me, right? I don't know. There's a block or there's a shift or there's something after work or there's something dirt, like, you know, it's just ask. And it doesn't mean an answer is going to come like a brick onto the coffee table where we're sitting right now and just be like, oh, here it is, Jack. From 1:45 to 3:15, put this in your calendar. No, but it means that I need to ask and sit, and maybe even throughout the course of the day, that will come. You know, this is a place at the bottom of 86 where at times I've been in a two-way prayer practice, right? Where like asking that God for inspiration, getting quiet, and then trying to write some guidance and inspiration that has come. It's not a practice that I'm currently engaged in, something that I did do for a little more than a year for a while. Beautiful. Currently now doing some more positive prayer practices, right? Different stuff. But the different stuff that I'm incorporating is coming through this. Like it's not, you know, like it's still getting channeled and funneled through the instructions here. And again, that's just because, you know, I don't do that well outside of the scope of these instructions, man. I just don't. Some people really do. I just haven't yet, you know, and I'm madly in love with tons of people who have had such powerful experiences just remaining here. I remember hearing Don Major at a thing, actually 2 years ago or last year, right, that we're going to this weekend in Frederick, say, just be careful in step 11 to not be standing on the back of a whale fishing for minnows, looking for all these other little things to do, all these ways to improve something. When you're looking at, and I also love thinking about the big book being the whale, you know what I mean? I just kind of like just big and just, you know what I mean? Just like, but under the surface too, maybe you're standing on it. Like there's so much here. My grant sponsor talks about this book being 500 feet deep when you dive in. It looks like you only got whatever, a couple inches, but you just keep swimming around, you know, and our thinking will, as time passes, become more and more on the plane of inspiration. Again, you got to love the clarity, right? And the confidence, because it's experiential, what they're talking about. They're not saying, oh, this might happen to you. This will happen if you do this. And the same thing is true on the other side. It probably won't if you don't. It might. I don't know. I can't talk about, but we can tell you that if you do, it will. And what is relying on my thought life look like when on a plane of inspiration? I don't know about you guys and your thought life, but man, you want to talk about a promise? Like, wow, that's some power. We are in another world. And we are, because we're 87 pages into a process, right? We're awake now, you know, and I want to hear.
Thanks, honey. I don't have too much to add. Great job. The one thing I will add what you were just talking on, you know, coming to rely on our own thinking is something that, you know, a promise that has definitely come true for me some days. You know, let me be clear, you know, some days it's not something I want to rely on. But one thing that I've actually experienced is, so I'm asking for inspiration. I'm asking for an intuitive thought or a decision. And I'm not just asking for this stuff in the morning, but I'm asking for this stuff to come throughout the day. And, you know, I usually have something in my prayers, God, please help me to grow my intuition. Mm. And please help me to rely on it. So I can deepen this relationship and connection with you. But sometimes I get this intuition and then I don't listen to it. And I get in big trouble when that happens. This is something that I've seen over and over again. That's in written inventory with my sponsor. Like now that this is beginning to be developed, this has become a defect of character that now sometimes I second guess my intuition. And I don't listen to that intuition and I get in trouble. And so this is the thing for me now is like when I'm asking for the intuition, when I'm asking for the inspiration to have the faith and trust and willingness to rely on it, even when it doesn't make sense, but in order to grow this relationship and to grow this intuitive knowing.
I was hanging on your every word. I forgot I was chairing the meeting. All right. We're going to continue on page 87. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will, and we are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. It's you.
So this sounds like if we're concluding the period of meditation, it sounds like maybe there was supposed to be some period of meditation that happened in there. You know, which it doesn't explicitly say now take some time and meditate, but it says to conclude the period of meditation. So like Jack said, I too was engaged in a two-way prayer practice at one point. I no longer am, but this is something, again, when I'm asking for inspiration, whenever I'm asking, whenever I'm praying, I need the prayer and I need the meditation with it. If I'm asking God for the inspiration, then I want to sit quietly for a little bit and see if anything comes. So after I ask for what we talked about in the last time, I sit quietly for a little bit, see if anything comes before moving on. And then this prayer that I be shown all throughout the day, what my next step is to be, that I be given whatever I need to take care of such problems. I always ask God to give me whatever I need to meet what I perceive as problems, you know, because I perceive a lot of things as problems that really don't turn out to be problems or really just opportunities. So I add that little phrasing in there. And then asking especially for freedom from self-will. You know, I need to ask for that every single morning, especially, again, you know, every single day.
Come from yourself.
Because it's so sneaky, you know, it comes back in. And even self-will with my step 11, you know, like even like I'm praying so my day goes better. I'm praying so I feel better. And if I'm not feeling better, it's not working. It's like, no, I have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. I'm supposed to be maintaining my spiritual condition. I'm supposed to be getting, you know, plugged into God. I'm not supposed to be doing this stuff the attitude is not make me feel better, right? This stuff only works with the proper attitude. And I fall back into that attitude a lot. The self-will in my prayers of like, this is, let me take this time so I feel better, so my life goes better. Let me ask God for help so I get what I want. And are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. I've heard different people talk about different interpretations of this. I make a lot of requests for myself. It's just, I don't request please give me a car, a new car. That's not the type of thing that I ask for. But, I ask for please make it clear what you would have me do in this situation. Please free me of this fear so that I can better serve you and the people around me. I do ask for things that, they're not for myself only, it's so that I can better serve the people around me. So that's the way that I interpret this, and what it says is we make no request for ourselves only. But that word only is really important, because I make a lot of requests for myself. They're just not only for myself.
Part of waking up too, right? Like, you start to see, you're just like, I'd be stupid to not say like, yeah, I'm clear now that like my life's better when it's more about y'all. It is like, so I'm not, this semantical, even in the another book, it talks about like, well, as long as I say thy will be done after it, it's like, in this house anyway, no worries about the words, not so much focus on, right? It's all about coming from the heart. It's like, I would be dumb to try to act like we are not clear that asking for my life to be less filled with me today. Yeah, I'm going to have a better day too. That's not, you're right. Like, that's not what
I think we're good for that paragraph.
Don't waste your time.
Thank you, guys. Let's see. Page 87. If circumstances warrant, I can't wait to hear y'all talk about this one. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer.
Okie dokie. So quickly, before I go into daily basis stuff, there's a couple of people that I'm looking at on the screen that I have been in groups with, taking time to do morning meditation. This is one of the more powerful experiences I've had as a group in AA. This weekend, Saturday, we went to a speaker, 2.5 hours, and we didn't have to leave till 8. We had 4 or 5 people. Cleo's going to try and show you a photo.
I don't know if you.
six of us, right, in this living room at 7. Everybody got here at 7. We took 45 minutes quiet time, went through some of this, read Emmett Fox Around the Year, took a little bit of time, and spent time with friends together in exactly what it says. Offered for other people to say some. So just a plug for, if you have the opportunity to do something, or you're meeting up for a road trip, or if you're meeting somewhere where you can take some time with those people, especially if you're doing it in the morning, it's a really, really cool deal. New Jersey, right? We've done a couple of different places at different times, been able to sit with. There's only one reason why Cleo and I are, if we're going to boil it all the way down, it's because there's power flowing from God into this home, into our relationship. So we would be pretty crazy unless we couldn't to not spend that, to not sit with each other. Now, often we will sit dead silent next to each other. I'll read Emmett, then she'll read it. She'll pick up another book. I'll pick up another book. She'll go into her stuff in the big book. Then I'll go into mine. Often we're not talking as we are sitting, just our personal practice. We will sit right here on the couch that you're looking at, and be silently in quiet time together, right? Like that's because this is a devotional time that we both, and it's been, there was a point in time where we got moved here from California and we didn't know what was going on. Right. I got arrested. And 3 days later, we showed up on the steps of the federal courthouse in Newark, New Jersey. And we were walking into this courthouse. And it was my fault that that happened. Right. I've been charged with some conduct sober. And I looked at Cleo and said, honey, your intuition is the one. And we paused those 5 steps. We paused on the steps to the courthouse and said, they're going to ask us, where do we live? We were living in California at the time, in Los Angeles, apartment, furnished, dog, whole nine, in California waiting. We'd been there for however long together. And Cleo paused, closed her eyes. I closed my, said a prayer silently. She came out of it, looked me right in my eyes and said, be in Maryland. And that's why now, tonight, currently, we are sitting in a home, a house, that while on federal pretrial release, we purchased together. We've been here for just a few nights. You know, our first night here was last Wednesday, not even a week. We've been sleeping here. The mattress is on the floor. I couldn't be happier about it. You know what I mean? So the plane of inspiration, being together in these moments. So yes, this is about the morning, clearly, right? But also just like, it's hard for me not to share about that moment because I just remember that intuitively I knew that intuitively she knew the answer, right? I knew that she knew that answer. And I believe there's times where we would have to go on trips apart. And I got a consideration from my sponsor to try and spend some time on the phone with her reading in the morning, even if it was 10 o'clock here and 7 o'clock in California or whatever, right? Taking some time at night to just spend a little bit of time in prayer or sharing or reading or something with God together if you can't do it physically. This type of stuff is like, this is that kind of stuff I thought was extra credit, AA, fundamentalist, right-wing, whack job, crazy stuff, man. Like I had no idea, but now it's so clear that there's one power that binds us. You know what I mean? Yes, it's the power of love, but God is love. He who abides in love abides in God. And it's like, we want some love and some God in this house. There's, what else are we going to do? And as we do that together, it's what it looks like. I got a couple people that would back me on this one. It would appear as though it is flowing out into the community. That's what it would appear like. And you start to see it, these little things. The reading this morning talked about fire, right? Which I love talking about fire. And I love this analogy, but this morning reading we read today talked about the ultimate fire being this infinite power source. And that each one of us are these little powers, but this is how, but we have to churn and stoke our own fire here so that as we go our separate ways throughout the day, but we get that double whammy. We get to, that's a gift. I know that that's a gift, even if we don't say a word for the 48 minutes that we're sitting there, like, you don't have to say anything. This is that stuff that, like, to me, didn't make a lot of sense for a long time. Thank you.
One thing it talks about in here is selecting and memorizing a few set prayers, which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. This is something that I do incorporate into my morning routine. Sometimes I say the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer. A lot of times for me personally, I don't memorize and recite prayers as much as I say something organically free flow that comes from my heart. A lot of times it still emphasizes exactly the same principles we have been discussing. I mean, always it emphasizes the same principles. But for me, I just find that when I have memorized and I'm reciting something, there is a lot more room for my brain to just go wherever and my mouth is still saying the same words, or I'm silently saying it to myself, but there's a whole nother thought conversation going on at the same time. Versus if I am, you know, just talking to God from my heart, asking for things specifically pertaining to that day and how to apply these principles in the day in front of me, I can stay more present. That's just my, and there are many helpful books also, 100%. There, you know, this is like what one of the books that we like, Jack mentioned, is Around the Year with Emmett Fox. I love Anthony DeMello. There's a whole bunch of books that we cycle through, you know, suggestions we've gotten from other people. But it's like, just doing what is in this book is required. So that, you know, it's like, this is the bare minimum. And it's enough, you know, in itself for sure. You know, like Jack said, it's like, this, if we're really doing this, this is like a whale in itself. And so these other things, like, I want to be clear, you know, that stuff is stuff that we do in addition, not instead of.
We got into some Oxford group stuff, going back into getting into some of the Oxford group's books. There's some incredible writing that we have taken some time to write, a couple of books that we have just fallen in love with that are just like, you know, I mean, they're just like straight cut through so much fluff that maybe we've been exposed to in different meetings or stuff, and just cut straight to the point of, you know, and there's a couple of words that you have to be able to set aside some of those ideas on, but they're just really, you know, very powerful. And the other thing is this, be quick to see where religious people are right. Because you read We Agnostics, that's why, right? Because you've written an inventory, hopefully, because you've been shown how wrong you are about so much, because you've made amends, because hopefully you have enough power flowing and you've become honest enough that you've started to see that, like, I don't know as much as I thought I did. I've been wrong about a ton. These guys are talking about a power source. Who am I to say there is no, or theirs is right, or theirs is wrong, or whatever? Bring it all on. Can we have too much help seeking the only power that is going to keep us alive? You know, like, could there be too much help in that? I don't know. You know, I'm really grateful that, again, it's interesting. I was here for a couple of years before I left. I never had that experience. I came back in, shown step one, went through the steps, had a different experience after a while here. And that line was like a no, just like, sure. Like, they're using a different word. Okay. So am I. I want to use higher power because so am I. It's okay. You know, this is all inclusive. This is a big, what they say, it's just like a big circus tent, right? This is a big yard, man. This is a broad highway. Like, we're all in this jam together, you know, and we're all looking for peace. And at this stage of the, you know, some real quietness inside, you know, no matter what's going on.
Yeah, that's been something, like, letting go of that. The ideas that my old ideas associated with a word has been something that's really been important on my journey, you know, because it's like, I was one thing for me when I got here to, it was pretty clear that I needed God, you know, like there was no way that I was doing anything without a power greater than myself. But the one word that I got really hung up on for a long time was the word Jesus. And I would, you know, have a lot of spiritual literature that I would not even be able to get the message that it was trying to convey, because I would just get hung up on the word Jesus in it and close to my mind to it. And so, like, that's, you know, something I just want to say, you know, explicitly, that's something, like, having this, okay, that's just another word for God. And, like, I don't need to be praying to Jesus, but, like, can I see the value of what this person is saying if I'm able to let go of my old ideas around this?
Because we're robbing ourselves again, our own ideas, our own mind, our own fear, robbing us again. It is back from the fear inventory, classless stealing again, robbing us from further, deeper experiences in step 11 because of what I think I know about a name or a word. You know, welcome to alcoholism. Right. Welcome to my mind having the keen ability to be able to block me from a deeper and more powerful experience because of something I think I know, or I think someone else is wrong about the way that they think. And when you start going down a rabbit hole now, man, there's not a lot there.
Yeah. Another, you know, I used to be kind of freaked out by the whole idea of gurus. You know, some of the most powerful, like, seeking that I've done, that we've done together, has been like going to India and sitting with a guru, you know, and I would never have done that had I not gotten to a place of being willing to let go of some of my ideas around these things. So yeah.
We definitely got to go, but we can keep reading.
Awesome. All right. We'll keep reading, but you talk about whatever you want. Page 87. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does.
Really does.
It really does. You know, and it works. It really does. We started out with what we read talking about step 11, telling us it works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. We are closing up the instructions on step 11 here with this promise of it works. It really does. So we're on page 88. And I have this note in my book that back on page 62, we were talking about our way of living not working. So, you know, in 26 pages, we go from step 3, our way of living not working. We do all the stuff that's in these 26 pages, you know, which is a lot of stuff, but it doesn't have to take a long time. You know, in my experience, it did not take a long time when I was really, really broken and really, really desperate. And now, this way of living works. It really does. Oh, thank goodness, because nothing, you know, nothing worked for me before this. And I really didn't think this was going to work either. So, you know, if you're sitting there and you aren't here, if you're not engaged in this practice, if you're not yet through the steps, if you don't have a daily prayer and meditation practice, and you don't think that that's going to work for you, I've been there too. You know, I did not think that the stuff that this book suggested was going to be the solution to the way that I experienced life. I didn't think it was going to be. I didn't understand how it was going to be. But I was out of other options. And when I did it, it worked. And it continues to work. And it's one of those things. It's like, we joke about this with each other. And, you know, it's like, I still doubt this stuff. It's like, I have some big thing in my life. And it's like, I talk to my sponsor about it. And then I'm like, oh, I have to write more inventory. And it's like, I doubt that like the inventory is gonna help. And then I like read her the inventory and some freedom comes and I'm like shocked. And I'm, you know, and it's like, I don't know what to do. And I'm directed to ask God for some guidance. And I do, and some guidance comes, and I'm still shocked. You know, it's like, I am constantly surprised that this stuff works, even though it's been working for years and for, you know, decades before I was born, for people all over. It just, you know, it could it be that simple? So as we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. So this, you know, I asked for this in the morning. This is like the prayer in the morning to engage in the 10th step throughout the day, as I see it. You know, it's like, God, please help me to pause when agitation or doubt arise and to turn to you and ask for the right thought or action. I add on to this a lot. Please help me to engage in the discipline of the 10th step. And I find that when I do that in the morning, a lot of times I do better at doing a 10th step when I need to do a 10th step throughout the day. Because I'm pretty good at watching for the stuff that we're supposed to watch for in step 10. I'm pretty good at identifying it. I'm pretty good at asking for it to be removed. I'm pretty good at turning my thoughts to somebody I could help. I'm not so good at picking up the phone and discussing it with somebody else. That's the piece that, like, I don't have time for it. I don't want to bother somebody, you know, isn't just asking God enough? Like, so this is the piece that, like, I become better at that in my experience when I'm asking for help in the morning to actually have the willingness to do that. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show.
It's like, come on, really? Again, it's just so much help, you know?
And it's, I have to constantly remind myself of that because I am constantly trying to run the show again.
Hello.
You know, it's like back and forth every single day. I constantly am trying again to figure things out, to get things my way, to manage all of you, to manage him, you know. And so I have to constantly remind myself that I'm no longer running. And then these promises, if I'm doing these things, I mean, less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decision. Excitement. That's always something that, like, I wanted, you know? Like, that's a funny thing to be, like, that a promise is that you're going to have less danger of it. Well, I wanted excitement in my life. And it's like, but I really have so much less excitement in my life, you know, and when I'm I have a lot of positive stuff in my life. I have a lot of stuff that I have joy around, that I look forward to, people that I love, you know, but excitement, you know, that feeling of, oh my gosh, something's gonna happen, this feeling of my adrenaline rising, the feeling of drama going on, that stuff is dangerous for me. And you know, if I'm doing all of this stuff and constantly reminding myself that I'm running the show, you know, I don't get as worked up about stuff, you know, there's not as much adrenaline going on. If I'm trying to live as I think God would have me live, there's not so much drama going. And this stuff, not only does it begin to fall away, it like really becomes stuff that like I really don't, becomes far less attractive to me. I don't want in my life anymore.
753. So what, we got like 5 minutes left, roughly? Yeah, cool. Yeah, just a phenomenal job, honey. I don't know. I mean, you know, I recently, my sponsor and I've been talking about all kinds of different stuff, but one of the things, you know, over the course of the last whatever couple of years is this idea of pausing, you know, throughout the day. This idea of going to the sanctuary, this idea of no matter where I am, no matter what's going on, whether I'm driving, sitting at work, in activities, playing basketball, coming home, sitting in a meeting, in a fist step, wherever I am, that there is a still, quiet, expansive place that I can go into at any time throughout any day. That is a really incredible. And often my days can look very, very full from waking up through 8, 9, 10, 11 p.m., whatever is going on. That sometimes it can be a lot of things. And it is crucial in between activities and during it, even if it's for 15 seconds, to get some juice. The juice is not from, oh man, now I'm excited to go to the next activity. The juice is, you know, inside, quiet time. Thank you, God. Couple deep breaths, pausing with the power and asking for its propulsion through the next whatever's going. This, I think, has saved, you know, many days for me, for sure, you know, and for many others, I'm sure too. Sponsor's not asking me to do anything just for me. It's not really his thing, you know? But again, it's still like, it doesn't say at the end of this, and now you've reached a place where you're just going to do this all the time. It's a constantly ask, you know, constantly remembering that you're not God. So like alcoholism is still there. Self is still there. The ego is still there. The serpent is still with us. Like it's still there, but right, we've taken actions, we've accessed power, we've had an experience, we're now becoming disciplined. Things are happening to where this is way more than just like tools, man. We're talking about like ways of living and ways to be in the world, no matter where we are. Like I said, pausing on the steps of the federal courthouse, pausing while being interrogated by the FBI, pausing while driving to the basketball court. It doesn't matter the gravity of the situation. The pause is not, you know, and to me, it feels like, and my grand sponsor's wife talks about it being much more of a promise than any, that like, as a result of all of what we've done up to this point, as a result of starting to do this, pausing will start to take place, but that I'm not going to use my mind to remember to pause all, but that like, there will be times where I do pause, but it feels like it, that too, sometimes happens automatically, you know, I wish that I could just remember to pause every time I need it. I got sticky notes on my computer at desk, literally, that says bring prayer into work life. Do you know how many times that actually helped me bring prayer into work life? Maybe a couple, but like we're going on a year and a half since that's been there. You know what I mean? Like, so like, it's great, but like, this is all, and that's what that next part talks about. that like these actions and what we're doing on a daily basis, this, God will discipline us through doing this. But it's a two-way street. You know, it's a cooperative deal. You know, it's a relationship. You know, like, what a cool thing. It's a relationship with an infinite power source. I am cultivating and growing an intuitively, inspirationally based relationship with an infinite power source. That is freaking incredible. You know, like, and why? Because I brought you broken, untreated, hopeless, and you showed me what it says to do. That's what I was shown. And what has happened is incredible. And now, right, as we acknowledge, right, we have a journey to in this step, in all steps, and in life. But this is the mainstay. There must be an anchor to the source. And what a gift and what a cool thing to get asked to talk about. So let's just requote that favorite sentence of many of my heroes. It works. It really does. Right? Like, so let's all just, it's been wonderful being with you guys. You know, it's great to be back. It's great to see some of you guys again. And we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. That was just delightful. You two are adorable. Everybody's going to get a chance to thank Jack and Cleo again after we pray. In the meantime, we'll do a little bit of business. The seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meeting can take place. Before I call for announcements, I just wanted to let everybody know that the chat is also open. If anybody wants to chat their phone numbers to the new people who identified themselves, you're welcome to do that. Or if anybody wants to chat with anybody else for any reason, it's open. Are there any announcements for the good of AA? You can unmute if you have one. I got a couple real quick while you're thinking on that one. Hey, come back next week. We've got Ralph White from California and Christy Ellis from Richmond on step 12. And then another pair of awesome speakers on step 12 after that. But in 3 weeks, we've got supper and a speaker. You'll see that supper and a is crossed out because we're going to be on Zoom. Usually we have a big potluck at the end of the step series, and we have a special speaker come in. Both Jack and Cleo have done that for us in the past. They were wonderful. This time we're going to have John Pine from Speaking of Steps in Richmond, Virginia. This information is on the Tidewater Intergroup website. And if I could switch my screen. Also, we have an ongoing workshop on the 12 concepts. On the fourth Wednesday of every month throughout 2021, we're coming up on concept 10. Chris Wells, past delegate of Virginia, is going to do the next one. That information is also available on Tidewater Intergroup. All of these things are for fun and for free and open to all. I see no hands. Last call for announcements. All righty then. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Sponsorship in Alcoholics Anonymous is yours for the asking. We urge you do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. We're not going to run out of here after we close. And let me see. Gretchen, would you read the last three paragraphs on 164 if I share them, please?
Thanks, I'd be happy to. Thank you for asking. That was amazing. I'm still blown out of the water. Good night, thank you. A vision for you, Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Just let me read.
Thank you, Gretchen. Thank you, Jack, Cleo, everybody who participated, you guys for taking the time to just come out and be in fellowship this evening. How about we virtually circle up? Everyone is free to unmute, and we can have a nice, raucous, confusing, feedback-filled version of the Lord's Prayer. Feel free to unmute. Moment of silence. Who's Father?
Our Father.
I will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power, and the glory,
forever and ever.
Amen. Woohoo! Thank you, guys.